Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better.
Even marketing.
This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business, I can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business? Hey, everybody, it's Brian, and I am so excited to have our guest today, Sandra Beckwith, and she is a book marketing coach. And trust me, I wrote a book, I marketed it, it's tough. And so Sandra's going to give us some ideas on how, when you write a book, and hopefully you're working on one, that you can have some great ideas on how to get it out into the marketplace and get people to pay attention. So Sandra, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, Brian. How are you?
I'm outstanding as usual. So one of the questions I always like to start off with is, you know, how did you go from where you were and where were you as a publicist to being a book marketing coach now?
Oh, great question. And I will try not to give you my life story.
Thanks.
It goes back to, you know, in college, I majored in journalism and public relations. Could have gone in two different directions with that. Started out in going into public relations. Had a great career as a publicist, basically. And a lot of what I did was actually new product publicity. But it was publicity in general. I worked for what was then the world's largest public relations firm. I won a couple of national awards for publicity excellence and several regional awards for the same thing. But eventually, Brian, you know, I kind of burned out. I lost the fire in my belly. You know, I might have an author out on a in-person media tour, but, you know, back when those were much more common than they are now. And used to be, if I didn't get all three network affiliates in a city, you know, I was ready to just jump off a bridge. But then I reached a point where, you know, I only got two of three, and I wasn't stressed out. I was a little more focused on what I might be preparing for dinner that night. So I realized that I wasn't doing my clients any favors by continuing to work for them when I sort of lost that fire. So I switched over into the journalism side, and for many years just made my living writing articles and books and corporate newsletters and things like that. And I still do that. I still keep my foot in that, working as a writer, a freelance nonfiction writer. But I just have that PR instinct. You know, it's almost inbred. Couldn't get rid of it. So I did something kind of unusual. I put a foot back into that arena and became a book marketing coach, pulling together everything I've learned, both as a journalist and as an award-winning publicist, in a way that teaches authors how to market their books, whether that process involves social media online or whether it involves working with the real world press. So it's been a longer journey than it sounds, but it's been one that I continue to enjoy. I love working with authors. I just love it. So it's a really good fit for me today.
Awesome. So I've heard this story so many times. I mean, we all grew up with the traditional publishers where you basically write the book and you hand everything to them and they edit it and they proofread it and they add indexes and they do the marketing and all this other stuff. But we're kind of in a different world today. And self-publishing really is, it's not as much of a black mark on you anymore as it used to be. If you were self-publishing years ago, it was like, oh, you couldn't get a publisher to get you. Well, now it's like the norm. But the one thing that's missing from that is the whole marketing stuff. And I think a lot of people, even though they may know how to market themselves or the product as service, marketing a book is very different, isn't it?
True. And, you know, I will tell you, too, that I have done both sides of this. I have I've written three traditionally published books. So I know that whole process, you know, getting an agent and writing a proposal and shopping it around and then, you know, writing the whole book and then having to promote it. And I've also got a couple of self-published books out there. So I've seen it on both ends. One thing I will tell you is that in today's marketplace, whether you're an author who has a traditional publisher or whether you're self-publishing, you are still the one responsible for the marketing. Gone are those days where you get a lot of publisher support, because the world just isn't working that way. You know, they will launch your book, they will introduce it to the world, and they will get you that in-store distribution that is so hard to get when you're self-published. That's the value, by the way, of a traditional publisher. If you're lucky today, you'll get an advance, so that's good. That's money in your pocket to write the book. They will manufacture the book so you don't have to deal with that, and they will get you bookstore distribution, all of which is good. But you still have to do all the marketing yourself, unless you've got a huge advance and that publisher has to protect that investment. Still up to you. So there are similarities in that respect, for sure.
You know, and I was in the audio recording business, and it was kind of very similar when you know, a band got signed by a label and they were going to record. And, you know, one of the things that you'd see often is that the band would be high on the hog on the first album, and they'd spend all their money thinking that this is going to happen every single time. And then their second album flops, and now all of a sudden they're broke and they actually owe money back to the record company. You know, and I know that's not the case in the publishing industry, but, you know, what are some of the things when you say that people have to be in charge of their own marketing? What do people need to think about? What are some of the steps that they need to take?
Oh, good question. I think one of the most important is to have a platform before you write the book. And a platform is publishing industry speak for an audience that is waiting to buy your book. So whether, again, you get a traditional publisher or you're self-publishing, and as you've stated, more and more people are self-publishing now, and it has lost some of its, you know, negative image, regardless of how you go, you need to have people waiting to buy that book. Your platform comes in a number of ways, takes a number of forms. It could be your email list. If you've got an email list, you know, you publish a newsletter, something like that, those people on your list are clearly interested in what you have to say. So they are prime contacts to buy your book. So it's your email list, it's your social media following, it is your ability to be a public speaker who can draw an audience that will buy books after the presentation. It's anything you've got going. You know, it could be blog subscribers, people who comment on your blog, because if they comment on your blog, again, they're interested in your topic and they're engaged with you and they feel a connection to you. So it's anything you can have in place that shows that you have a potential fan base and people who are interested in what you write about. So that is probably the most important thing an author can do, and the sooner you do it, the better. Too many authors think about this after, you know, those cases of books have been delivered and are stacked like in a, you know, a corner of the dining room or something. Mm-hmm. They're using them for furniture. Don't wait until then. Start all of this process well before your book is done.
Absolutely. And I love the whole platform concept, because, I mean, I know one of the first things that I did when I wrote my book was I had my cover designed and made sure that I had that to be able to market to people to say, hey, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And at least they had a visual in their head of what this looked like. And I guess, what are some of the things, you know, obviously, authors, if they're smart enough, can create their own website or get somebody to do that for them, start blogging, start getting out there in social media, giving talks. What are some of the other things that people can do to promote the book before it gets launched?
Oh, I love what you just said about your cover, by the way. I think that's a great idea. And to take that to the next level, following up on that thinking, one thing you could do is ask your followers and your connections to help you select the cover. You've got a great cover. You didn't need any help with that. But what you could have done, Brian, is, say, had five finalists that you posted on your blog and maybe on your Facebook page. And if you have a Facebook group or a LinkedIn group, you could have shared a link in there. But maybe get people engaged, even more connected with your book, by helping you select the cover. So that's one thing you can do. Another thing you can do in advance of all of this is start making a list of people who influence your audience, who might be willing to endorse your book and write a testimonial for it, so that you can add that testimonial to the cover and to the inside pages and to your Amazon or your Barnes & Noble sales page. And you can start making that list not only on your own, but again, tapping into your networks and saying, this is the book I'm writing. You know, who do you think would be a good person to endorse this book, and get some feedback that way? Another thing you can do is start commenting on the blogs of people who also write about your topic or who reach the same target audience that you want to reach, so that you start to get known among those key bloggers. And the reason you want to do that, the reason you want to be known among bloggers that influence your audience, is because when your book comes out, if you're smart, you'll do a virtual book tour, which is like that in-person tour, except it's all online. And you will visit bloggers to maybe write a guest blog post, maybe do a Q&A, maybe do a podcast interview like this, maybe do a video interview that gets hosted on YouTube but posted in the blog. Maybe that host will review your book. There are a number of ways that you can engage with your audience on somebody else's blog through a virtual book tour. And the best way to make that happen is to become known to those important bloggers in advance, so that when you come asking for them to participate in your tour, they know who you are already, and it's an easier sell.
So other than the fact that all of us are not J.K. Rowling and making millions of dollars on our book, and I've heard numbers of, you know, people putting out self-published books that have sold as little as 10, and I've heard people sell like up to 150. So getting rich by writing a book is not common to most people. But what are some of the other misconceptions that people who are writing books need to know about before they get into marketing their book?
Oh, Brian, how much time do we have?
A few more minutes before. I know, it's a loaded question.
All right, everybody, pour yourself another cup of hot coffee, because here we go. You know, one of the biggest, one of the biggest misconceptions is that you can do it all by yourself. The problem with self-publishing, and the reason it doesn't have as good a reputation as traditional publishing, is that there is no barrier to entry. All you have to do is write a book, figure out how to get it, you know, uploaded to Amazon through the KDP program, and, you know, voila, you've got a book you're selling. Pretty easy. However, it's much more complicated than that. If you want people to read your book, and some people don't write their book to be sold. Sometimes they really just want it read. Whether you want people to buy it or whether you just want it read, you still need to do a few things. First, you need to be a good writer. It is really that simple. You need to be able, if it's fiction, you know, to tell a story that's worth reading. If it's nonfiction, you need to be able to have a logical flow and a structure and contain the right information for that topic that you're writing about. So, not everybody is a real good writer. You've got a couple of options. You can hire a ghostwriter to do it for you, and, you know, that costs money, but a lot of authors do that. But you can also give it your best shot and then pay an editor to polish it for you. And that's one step that so many authors leave out. They don't hire an editor, and even professionals like me still get edited every time I write a book. I still pay somebody to edit it before it goes out the door, because it's a smart thing to do. So you need an editor. You also need somebody, if you're going the printed mode, you want a professional designer for the interior so that it looks like a professional book. And you need a professional cover designer. People, Brian, whether we like it or not, people do judge books by their covers. Mm-hmm. They just do. And certain genres have certain looks. You know, a cozy mystery has a look that is nothing like a business book. So you need a designer who has done covers for your genre or category before, and you need to pay that person. And sometimes payment can come in the form of barter. Depends on, you know, skills and services. But what so many people do is they totally skip that professional level that comes automatically with traditional publishing. And they end up with a product that's inferior to traditionally published books. And then what they do is complain about how those publishers are out to get them. That's so unfair. Well, it's really not that unfair. If you approach publishing your book the same way a publishing business does, you will be able to compete with those traditionally published books. So it's skipping all of those professional services that every book needs. And then it's thinking that if you write it, people will come. No, it's hard, but you have to let them know it's out there.
And I love the whole comment about the cover, because the whole world has changed in a big way. I've heard from one person, it was called the 17-foot test. If you stood 17 feet away from a book and could not read its content and its cover, then you are missing an opportunity, because it's sitting on a bookshelf and people, you know, glancing by, it needs to catch their eye and draw them in. But there's a second element to that today, and that is the digital cover that's showing up on Amazon and other places, where you're no longer dealing with a big book cover, you're dealing with a small book cover. And it's a little itty-bitty picture, and does that pass that litmus test, you know what I mean?
Right, it has to be legible in a thumbnail version.
Same thing with just any good logo design or business card or things of that nature, yeah.
Exactly.
So you have a system that's going to help people get their arms around how to do this themselves, which I think is incredibly important. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned book marketing plan, because that's basically what I'd like to talk to you about. I have a home study course that teaches authors how to create their own book marketing plan. It is for fiction and nonfiction, both, two separate courses, but accessed through the same portal. Four modules. Each module takes you through a key step in the process. You know, you start with learning how to define your target audience and set goals for your book marketing plan, you know, your process. What is it you want to accomplish? Do you want to promote your book so that you're positioned as an industry thought leader? Do you want your book to help get you speaking gigs? You know, what is it you want to accomplish? And then it teaches you everything you need to do to reach those goals for your books, whether it's learning how to use Amazon properly for book marketing, whether it's learning how to get honest book reviews, whether it's how to use social networking tools and which social networks are the best ones to use for your audience. It has instructions on how to create and, you know, conduct a virtual book tour, how to get media interviews, how to build an author website, which can be a little bit different from another business's website, that sort of thing. So it starts you out with the planning, takes you through all of the tactics that work for book marketing, and explains them in a way that lets you, you know, pick, you know, one from column A and two from column B, sort of a thing. And then brings it all together at the end, where you finish your book marketing plan and have a blueprint that you can then follow for the next year when it comes to marketing your book. It helps you define when you're going to do what it might cost you, if anything. And Brian, you probably know there's so much you can do that doesn't cost a thing, and that's what's so fun about it all. But, you know, it takes you from beginning, middle to the end. So in the end, you've got a blueprint you can follow and hit your goals and feel successful as an author.
Sandra, this has been fabulous. You've really laid down some real great, solid foundational tips for people to learn how to market their books. So I'm sure some of my audience is going to want to try to get a hold of you. What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, email works, and I will say it and then spell it. It is sb@buildbookbuzz.com, and that's S as in Sandra, B as in Beckwith, at buildbookbuzz.com, buildbookbuzz.com.
Love it. Hey, Sandra, thank you so much for joining us today. I got a lot out of it. I'm sure my audience did too. And it was a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Thank you for the opportunity, Brian. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.